That is why.
So you can hear me?
Not too loud?
All right.
Try it again.
Pardon me? Are you okay? All right.
Sound good?
Yeah.
And then this will advance this line? All right. All right. Well, if you have a Bible, we're going to put the verse on the wall behind me in just a few moments, the verses. But go ahead, if you have a Bible, to turn to it or to flip to it or to do something on your screen and turn to Mark chapter 1. And if you had read this chapter this week by chance or any time recently, you might be a little bit surprised at where I want our takeaway message to be today, because it may not be the message that you thought when you went through this chapter maybe on your own. But what I would like us to, well, before I tell you, let me just say this comment to you. There probably have been times in your life when you've missed something. And you maybe have used that phrase. You might maybe have said, oh, I missed it. It might be a big thing or a small thing, but you look back and you go, oh, I missed it. And it's not a nice feeling. You would say to yourself, I don't want to miss it. Because if you miss it, it means that there is something that really would have been good, something that you really would have valued, and you didn't appreciate it at the time. You didn't see it at the time, and you missed it. And it might have been a business thing or an opportunity, might have been a relationship, some excitement, some wonderful adventure, but just something that you might have missed. And there's certainly been times in my life that I have missed various things. But that's okay. We go on with our life. There's of course, there are many wonderful saints that have gone before us, and you probably have read many. I'd recommend one to you of many, C.T. Studd. A great encouragement that a man that's gone before us is with the Lord now. But as he was a missionary to cannibals in Africa, he wrote a number of things. They're all just kind of bold, wonderful, dynamic things. But one of the things he wrote was a little poem. At the bottom of every verse, every line in the poem was the phrase, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." He did another part of the poem. "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And we know that. We only have one life. And the point here being about missing it is, it's not that bad if we miss a business thing or an opportunity or a vacation. But what if we miss what life is all about? What if we get to the end of our life? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we go, there is something about life that I missed. I think about that. I pray often certain prayers that just seem to have a recurrence in my prayer life. And one of those things is, Lord, I don't want to miss it. And please lead me and guide me so I don't miss it. And Lord, without your guidance and without your work in my life, I'll miss it. And without your grace and guidance in my life, I won't even really know what it is. So lead me to understand what it is and work in my life that I don't miss it. It's not going to be by my wisdom or my energy. It's going to be by your grace that I don't miss it. And that's actually going to be the focus of what we talk about today, is not wanting to miss it. So it's been a recurrent thing in my prayers over the last number of years. I remember two doctors I'm just going to mention. I'm a doctor from America. There is a doctor in, I'm from Augusta, Georgia. There was a doctor in Augusta, Georgia, about my age that I heard had come down with pancreatic cancer. And I knew he was a Christian. I didn't know him well, but I started going to his house on a regular basis to be at his bedside and talk with him. And it turned out he was just a great man of God. And he encouraged me and challenged me so many times during those weeks and a few months that I had with him. And I remember one time him saying to me and to a few others that were with me, there he is lying on his bed. He's on the doorstep of eternity. He's thinking so much about meeting his Savior. He has such clarity. The things of this world just aren't confusing him anymore. And he turns to me and says, Andy, I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss what God has for you and telling other people about him and building your kingdom. He says, Andy, I don't know how much time you have left. And I don't want you to miss it. So that really stuck with me, hearing that from him. And then another doctor from Augusta, I'll mention his name. I didn't tell you I was going to mention this, Eileen, but a doctor, his first name is Mark. And Mark started spending, I started spending time with Mark. We were in Bible study together, and this man started to, his life really started to be improved and impacted by Jesus Christ. I took him on many mission trips to Central America, and then he even took him with me on mission trips, medical mission trips to Bangladesh and Nepal. And there's just no question that he was enjoying this time, and his life was being wonderfully improved by Jesus Christ in some great ways. And then I remember a time with him in Nepal, and I said to Mark, I said, Mark, you know, there's been such improvement in your life. You've been with me for these last number of years. I'd like you to start thinking about leading some medical mission work in Nepal and being a leader with me, and next year you can do what I'm doing. And so I remember that conversation with him in a little bedroom in Tikapur, Nepal. And a few days later, we were in Kathmandu. Let's see. Did I turn it off? All right. So you can't see it real well, but we were walking through Kathmandu, and of all the signs, there was this sign that Mark and I saw. It says, don't miss it. And there were lots of Nepalese everywhere and lots of commotion, but that's all I saw. It's like, whoa, don't miss it. I have to get this picture. So Mark and I talked about that, and we took that picture, and that's going to be what we're going to talk about now as we look at Mark chapter 1 together, verses 29 through 45. We're going to read the passages, but let me just say quickly, Jesus is in Capernaum. Martin talked about him last week, the beginning of this chapter. And there's going to be essentially two parts to this passage. There's the Capernaum people, and I probably made up this word, but we're going to talk about the Capernaumites. So forgive me, Capernaum people, that's not what you're called. But we're going to talk about the Capernaumites and their encounter with Jesus. And that's the first part. And then there's an encounter that a leper has with Jesus. So those are the two places we're going to camp a little bit. And again, with this thought about, you know, we just don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss what God has for us in life. So let's go ahead and let's talk about the Capernaumites, and we will read. Can you go to the next slide? And I'll read it to you if it's a little bit too hard to read. But picture the Capernaumites living in Capernaum, and day after day, week after week, month after month, they had been in Capernaum. And with their life in Capernaum were various problems. They had aches and pains and issues, and there was no way to resolve any of those problems. There were no corner drugstores and no doctors and no treatments. And they had people there with painful elbows, and they had people with gout, and they had people there with coughs and coughing up, you know, stuff that doctors see, and coughing up blood. They had abdominal pain, and they had, you know, heartburn and headaches, maybe some people with fever, some people with weight loss, but they just had to live that way. It was just day after day. That was just life in Capernaum, and there was no help for any of those problems. So that was kind of the day before, but then suddenly this day happens in the life of the Capernaumites, this really remarkable, amazing day. And let's read that either on the screen or on your lap, or you can just listen. It says, and immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. So what an incredible day, wasn't it, to be a Capernaumite? They had never imagined such a day. And Jesus comes, and all these problems that had no answer or solution were just wonderfully cared for by Jesus. And the elbow felt fine, and that heartburn was gone, and the fever went away, and maybe that weight loss had stopped, it seemed, and And just what a special encounter they had with Jesus' day, and how much they had been improved in their life in Capernaum on that day. And I'm sure it was a day that the Capernaumites never forgot. And if anybody ever wrote a book on the history of Capernaum, it certainly filled up at least a chapter in that book on the history of Capernaum. So there was this encounter with Jesus and the Capernaumites. But you might think, it's a wonderful story. Where does this kind of theme about don't miss it? How does that fit into that story? Well, we'll kind of mention that in a moment. Let's read on. He's still in Capernaum, and Jesus is there healing them late at night. You might remember it was the Sabbath, and he's in Peter's house. It doesn't tell of anybody coming during the daytime. They could have come to spend time with Jesus. They could have come to be taught by Jesus. But it doesn't seem like there was much of a crowd interested in Jesus until after it became nighttime. And then the Sabbath was over and work could be done. Work such as healing could be done. So the people came and it started at nighttime. So you can just imagine how late it was when the people finally left. Imagine all the excitement. People were so excited. They're healed. They're standing. They're walking. The broken bone. Everything's healed. Just imagine just the energy, the enthusiasm. But at some time during the night, all that ended. They all go to sleep. And then we read this next part in verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him, and they found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. So that's kind of the next part. So Peter and many others, probably some of the disciples, probably some of his Capernaum friends, were looking early in the morning for Jesus. And they saw this unusual sight when they found Jesus. It's early in the morning, before anybody woke up. Jesus slept, a couple hours maybe, some small amount of time. And he's there, and they see something that they really have never seen before. They see this person communing with the Father. He's not in a temple. He's not in a priest. He's not doing rituals. He's not doing sacrifices. All this thing that those people did to have a relationship with God, the Father, there's this man who's just intimately, person to person, having this relationship with God that they had never seen this before. They had never seen this healing in Capernaum, and they had never seen such a picture of a relationship with God before. They probably heard him, they might have heard him praying. They might have heard him saying, "God, I've come to do your will," we know Jesus said. He might have been saying, "God, use me to bring glory to your name," as we know Jesus prayed. But they might have heard some of his prayers, and they saw a picture of this intimacy between Jesus and the Father that they had never seen or imagined. And they might have thought, if they were really close, they would have not heard Jesus asking for any need he had. Of all the people in Capernaum, this was the one person with no need. This was the one person with no sin. This was the one person of anybody who could sleep in the morning because he had no need for God. Maybe everybody else should wake up and ask God for help, but this was a man who needed nothing. And they see him waking up early to have this intimate, loving relationship with the Father in a way that they had never seen or imagined could take place. So then he says that we're going to go and we're going to keep teaching and preaching. And we know from the passage last week that Martin talked about and other passages, we know what he preached and we know what he proclaimed. He would say, "The kingdom of God is at hand." That was your verse last week. It says it in a similar way in Luke 8, verse 1. There are a number of these verses where it says that Jesus went from city to city, village to village, preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Not the Christian life, not a better life, not an improved life, not a healed elbow and resolved reflux, but preaching the kingdom of God. Okay, that's the first part, an encounter with Jesus Christ by the Capernaumites. And then there's another encounter in this passage, but again, we're going to be thinking about missing it. And this other encounter is with the leper. And let's read the last part of this passage. Excuse me. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news. We'll just stop there. He never made it to the temple. So that's the leper. Again, it seems like a wonderful, positive passage. And you know about leprosy. It's this terrible disease that had no cure. It's this disease that spread throughout the body, eventually brought death to all the body. But it was a unique disease because it didn't only bring death to the body, but it brought death to every relationship in that person's life and completely cut him off from all of those he loved. His wife, his parents, his children, completely separated from this disease. It was a terrible disease that brought death, destruction and death, both to the body and to all the relationships, leaving the person in a terrible, isolated state until the day he dies. So this leper comes to Jesus with this terrible disease of both body and relationships, and he comes and says to Jesus that wonderful line, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And of course, we know Jesus' answer. And with compassion, he touches him and he heals him. And not only is the body restored, but in that moment, all the relationships are restored. Back to his children, back to his wife, back to his community. All of that restored in just that moment of healing. And then the last thing that Jesus does, he has compassion, he touches and he heals. And then he gives this, I was going to say young man, whatever age he might be, an assignment. And the assignment was to go to the temple and present himself before the priests. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few moments. But just stop and just imagine the King of Kings giving an assignment, receiving an assignment from God. And this man's not Moses. He's not Abraham. He's just this old, this previously sick leper. And the God of the universe looks at him and gives him an assignment. Wow. Okay, now we're going on to missing it. So this is the part of the passage and the passages that I'd like to challenge you and challenge myself with. Again, it just seems like it's just wonderful stories. So how is missing it possible in this Capernaumites encounter with Jesus Christ? Well, what was Jesus there for? We know what he was there to preach for. We know why he was there. He was there preaching and teaching and showing the kingdom of God. This is what it looked like when he preached the kingdom of God. Sometimes he used words. Sometimes he healed people. Sometimes he raised them from the dead. But he was there for one purpose, and that was to teach them and to show them, to give them a heart and a passion, an understanding, a desire for the kingdom of God. Jesus would be saying, I'm showing you in this living sermon that your world is not the world. Your reality is not the reality. You've never imagined this, you've never seen this, but there's a world, there's a reality that you know nothing of, that I'm coming to not only show you, but I'm the king of that kingdom, and I'm coming to present this to you. You see it a little in shadow now on this day in Capernaum, but the day will come that you will see this reality fully. And this kingdom that you live in now that you think is real is going to be gone. And I'm coming to show you and to give you a desire for a kingdom that you've never imagined. Something more than a healed elbow is offered to you today. The kingdom of God is at hand. The king was there. Everything took place. Their life was improved. Their pains went away. But then they went back to their lives. Later one day, their elbow started hurting again. And later one day, their reflex came back. But at least they'd say, but that was a good day. Our life was helped that day. It was wonderful that Jesus came that day. What they wanted, some of them, most of them, maybe all of them, They wanted an improved life in this kingdom. Well, what Jesus wanted to give them was new life in a new kingdom. There were some, probably many, maybe all, but there were definitely, I'm sure, some Capernaumites that day who had this encounter with Jesus Christ, whose lives were improved, who are in hell today, despite this wonderful day in Capernaum. They had an encounter with Jesus. They were impacted by Jesus. They enjoyed Jesus. They felt better because of what Jesus did. But they never understood or accepted this offer of a new kingdom and a new life. Missing it. And then the leper, missing it? Well, the leper comes. His body is healed. He's given this assignment. And it's an interesting assignment because Moses wrote the regulations and rules for the priest by the instruction of God, I don't know, 1,000 years before, however long before, long, long, long time before, Moses wrote what the priests are supposed to do when a leper is healed. And then Jesus said, go and do this. But Moses wrote that. And after Moses wrote that, the priests have known how to do this. They've studied how to do it, but they've never done it. Because there's never been a healed leper going back to the temple. Generation after generation after generation, they learn what to do. They never use it. This was this incredible assignment that would bring God so much glory that now you're the one that's going to fulfill all that the priests have been talking about for the last 1,000 years. You're going to come as a healed leper, and how God is going to be glorified through you in that temple. Just what a wonderful assignment for the glory of God this leper was given. But instead, we know he didn't make it to the temple because he encountered something on the way to the temple. It was life, just this world, distractions, friends, obligations, all the sorts of things that make up this world. And he was distracted from not just an assignment, but an assignment from God. And not just an assignment from God, but an assignment for his life to bring glory to God, to be used by God in an amazing way for his glory. And he missed that. Healed, wonderfully healed, but missed this assignment he'd been given, this opportunity. So, of course, we're going to end with some just thoughts on us, and I hope a challenge for you and myself. And again, this really fits into my life, because this whole concept of not wanting to miss it, whatever it is, but to the end of my life, what God has made us for, I, through the years, I have really thought and prayed about this. So we're no longer just in the shadow. Our King is in his kingdom. The kingdom has come. Jesus is here this morning. He's speaking to us. Jesus gave us this passage in Mark and recorded it for us this morning, not so that we'd have a history lesson, not so that we would understand what happened in Capernaum one day, but so that this lesson that he had for them that day would be our lesson in 2017 in Skopje. So our King is here today as he was back then. We're sort of the Capernaumites right now in this story. And he's saying to us, I'm not of your kingdom. Your kingdom's, there's another kingdom. Your kingdom is not, there's the kingdom of this world, our life, our problems, our issues, our affections, our dreams, our desires, but there's another kingdom to live in now with new affections and new desires and new dreams and new purposes that can be the kingdom, not just of the future, but the kingdom of our lives now. If we were a Capernaumite, you know, what would we have seen that day? Would we have seen someone who could make my life better in my kingdom? Or will we have seen and heard someone who could bring me into new life, into a new kingdom? What do we want when we look at this one? Do we want someone who can improve and make better our life and our kingdom? Or do we long to be brought into the kingdom of our God, which he invites us to? Not that I have, Jesus says, not that I have power to make your life better, I do. But I have power to transfer you to another kingdom. I'm going to read just two passages from the epistles that just go on to make this point. What was Jesus preaching in Capernaum? What is he preaching to us today? You might remember in Colossians 1, verse 13, but there's this passage that talks about the Father. For he, God the Father, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us, past tense, has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. God has rescued us, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, those who have not just been improved by Jesus Christ, had a healed elbow and a little nicer reflux by Jesus, but those who have been saved by Jesus Christ, it says they have now been rescued from this domain of darkness. That's why he went to Capernaum. There weren't people there with hurt elbows that he was going after. There were people who were captive in the domain of darkness, and he wanted to transfer them into his beloved kingdom. And that's what his message is to each of us. And that's what the message is he wants us to tell others. That it's not a better life in this kingdom. It's something so much better. It's for us to be rescued from this domain of darkness and today to know that we're in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So sadly, many of the Capernaumites, I imagine, maybe many of them, maybe all of them, missed it. But at least I'm sure some of them did. But how tragic if we miss it. What kingdom do we live in? What kingdom do we talk about? What kingdom are our affections being nurtured for? What kingdom are we fanning the flame of our affections for? What kingdom are we talking about? What kingdom is it that we want to advance? When we dream about something advancing, are we thinking about my life in this worldly kingdom advancing? Or am I thinking about God's kingdom for his glory advancing? Do I want the legs and the breath and the heartbeats and the efforts of my life to advance my little life in this kingdom? Is that what makes it my life? Or do I want my legs and my breath and my heartbeat and this life to be used by God for his glory to advance his kingdom? We have this offering by God to be rescued, and not only rescued, but to live daily in and for this kingdom. And then just finally, I might have said finally a few times already, but we're really getting close to the finally. The leper, one verse for the leper. So many of you, maybe all of you, but certainly many of you have come and have had this encounter with Jesus Christ where you have come to him as your Savior. I did this in Brazil, this encounter, when I was in sixth grade. We lived in Rio de Janeiro, and I had this encounter then. Many of you will remember where you had this encounter where you came to Jesus, maybe sitting, maybe on your knees. And you said, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And there's this leprosy of sin that all of us have had. This deadly disease that permeates our life and slowly causes death, not only to our life, but death to all of our relationships. And most importantly, this leprosy of sin brings death to our relationship with God. Completely cuts us off in isolation for now and for all of eternity. But if there's a time in your life when you have come to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean of this leprosy of my sin that not only brings death to my body, but eternal separation from all the relationships I was made to live for. If there's ever been that time in your life, then you know that he's reached down in compassion and he's touched you and he's healed you in a moment by his death and resurrection of not only the death of your flesh and your body, but instantly just restored you to those wonderful relationships that you were created for. But as with that, in the verses, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has come to Jesus and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, not an improved creature, not somebody with a healed elbow, not somebody whose reflux is gone, a new creature in a new kingdom. And the old things pass away and new things have come. But then not only that, the next verse. Now all these things are from God, and he's given to us through Christ the ministry of reconciliation. As that cleansed leper 2,000 years ago amazingly was given an assignment for the glory of God, each of us, when we've come to Jesus Christ, amazingly have been given an assignment by God to go out and build his kingdom, for our life to be used for the glory of God. To go and make disciples, to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I send you. Your life now is this amazing adventure and assignment to be used for the glory of God, for the purposes of God, for the kingdom of God. But sadly, Christians can come If you're willing, you can make me clean. And they can walk away. The busyness of the world, the noise of the world, the normalcy of this world, they can be distracted and miss this incredible daily, weekly, monthly, lifetime assignment that God has given to us for His glory. In a few moments, we're going to have communion. And for those that have come to Christ and have been forgiven, have said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't cleanse myself, but you can cleanse me. If you're willing, will you make me clean? If there's been that time in your life, you are His. You have been transferred into His kingdom. But oh, how this world can just pull us back. And this communion table is a time to just start again. Say, Jesus, you've forgiven me. Thank you. I turn from my sins. I want to be living for not only for you, but for this assignment you've given to me. I want to be restored this morning back under your wonderful rule and reign in my life. I don't want to sadly miss this glorious assignment as this leper did. So sadly, tragically, many then and many today miss it. And it's not enough if Jesus just improves our life. For many Capernaumites, an encounter with Jesus is just an opportunity to have something better in life. It's nice to go to church. Potluck dinners are wonderful. Christian friends are wonderful. It's a wonderful way to live a life, to be with Christians. I'm going to finish with the story of Mark. Could you turn? So Mark and I saw that sign. I wanted him to go on and be a leader and the work that was going on in Nepal. There were so many wonderful ways that God had improved his life. And then we get back to America and we continue back in a Bible study. And then it was that year he started having, it was revealed that he was having multiple affairs. And it was that next year that he left his wife and has still left her. And it was that year that he left the church. And he missed it. He had had a number of years of being wonderfully improved by Jesus. But he had never given his heart to Christ. He had never been born again. He had never started. He looked it. He talked it. There were so many ways that Jesus improved his life. But he missed it. I didn't realize that day in Kathmandu when we saw that sign that it was sadly a prophetic sign about his life. So, thank God for coming into our lives. Thank God for the message of the kingdom that he has for each of us. And thank him for his invitation for each of us to be rescued and transferred and to be given a glorious assignment for the kingdom of God. Thanks.
We'll go straight into the nice.